This is the KNX Business Hour.
Business Hour
with Frank Motek on KNX 1070 News Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to KNX Business Hour, number one for your business and consumer news right after the closing bell on Wall Street, your daily briefing on the economy. Whipsaw session for the stock market today, with the market closing lower. The Dow down 80 points. We're back to 7,271. We were in positive territory in the final hour of trading after having been lower in triple digits during most of the session. NASDAQ down 16 at the close to 1,425, and the S&P 500 just closed down 8 points to 765. The yield on the 10-year note now 2.94%. The Treasury Department announcing its new plan to pump more money into the banks using preferred stock that could be converted to common shares. Looks like we saw a mixed finish for the banking stocks today, with Citigroup down 8 cents to 252 and B of A up 43 cents to $5.16. J.P. Morgan Chase closed with a gain of 71 cents to 21.73. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, another day on Capitol Hill. Coming up, we'll have market analysis from John Najarian shortly, as well as two members of the House Financial Services Committee who had a chance to ask Ben Bernanke questions at that hearing today. Traffic and weather together on here at the CBS Broadcast Center on L.A.'s Miracle Mile. Trust me on the economy, the message from Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke today, spending a second day testifying on Capitol Hill.
We're not making it up. We know broadly speaking what needs to be done. Now, of course, if it doesn't work, we'll have to ask ourselves why not and to address it with other approaches.
Today, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner hammered out details of a program to help homeowners avoid foreclosure.
We're meeting to try to make sure that we can get knowledge about this program, outreach efforts mobilized, counseling services targeted to where they can work best. It's trying to make sure that the people, the millions of Americans that will benefit from this program, actually are able to benefit.
And we'll have further details on that coming up. The Treasury Department also announcing the nation's biggest banks are being granted immediate access to more support from that $700 billion financial bailout plan that was approved last year. Officials say the new support will be provided through the government's purchase of preferred shares of the bank stock, which could later be converted to common stock. With us live now, John Najarian, CNBC contributor, also co-founder of Option Monster. John, give us your view of what was announced today.
Well, I think it was, once again, Ben Bernanke that was really carrying the water for the president. The president, I think, did a fabulous job, Frank, in terms of being positive and being a great public speaker that we all know that he is. But there was that lack of specificity, again, in his delivery last night. That was countered by Chairman Bernanke's statements to the House today that they really do not want to go down the road of nationalization of banks. I think that continues to be a very positive theme, and I think they can get away from it. It's just a question of when does Mr. Geithner finally relax some of the mark-to-market accounting issues, and I think that is probably days, if not just weeks, away.
In plain English, explain what you're doing here, trying to pump up the bank stocks, it looks like. Is that what's going on here with this preferred stock that could be converted to common stock? Explain it to us as best you can.
Yes, sir. Well, the issue with the banks, of course, is manyfold, but this mark-to-market accounting, when Merrill had to sell their distressed assets for 22 cents on the dollar, virtually everybody else that had similar portfolios had to, under the new accounting rules. And this is a very illiquid class. It doesn't trade every day like Apple or IBM stock. So when people talk about that illiquid market, that means that you have to price it to whatever the last recognized trades were. And thus, even if there's been a recovery in some of these assets, you're still pricing them as if 8/10 of the people are not performing on these loans and that there's not money coming in. So I think one of the ways to free up the banks from that onus and that unusual responsibility right now is to relax that mark-to-market accounting. I think the games that they may or may not play with the equity in the banks, Frank, is less something that's going to drive the stocks, although I would prefer, and I think most of us would, that the governments have less of a hand in the private sector banks and instead concentrated on bailing out the failures, if there are failures. And I think there'll be a lot more forced marriages, but very few real failures of the banks.
How's Geithner's plan going over today with the stress test for some of the biggest banks? It looks like there was a mixed reaction as far as the stock market is concerned.
Yeah. For a while today, there was a very nice reaction in the final 2 hours of trade. We made it all the way to positive territory, perhaps up 50 points or more. And then in the final half hour of trade gave that back and finished down these 80 points for the Dow Jones. I think some of that is just that, again, lack of specificity about what this stress test entails. And what will you do to banks that aren't passing that stress test? Is it immediate cash infusion from the government and thus a form of nationalization, or is it something else? So I think this will play out in the short term, not the long term, and I think overall this will be a positive for the markets. But since they don't know, the markets are going to react negatively, as they always do to things they're uncertain of.
All right. What's your outlook for those bank stocks? So where are you putting money now, and where are you taking it off the table?
If people really wanted to take informed risk investment, then I think the banking stocks, many of them offer 100% upside and perhaps 25% downside. In other words, I think that there's an extreme overweight towards oversold right now for those banks, and that if they did relax some of these accounting standards and if the government does not nationalize, both of which I think they will do, not nationalize, and I don't think that they will hold these banks to the accounting standards that have driven them to here. I think that means that these banks are very cheap. J.P. Morgan would be the best bank that I'd buy. That's what I'd concentrate on. But I think Hewlett-Packard actually acted very well among all the stocks in our universe. Hewlett-Packard was one of the top performers today. It finished with a gain of about 1.7%. It's back up over $30 a share, and the past 3 days, it has looked like an outperformer in the tech sector.
John DeJurian with CNBC, also a co-founder of Option Monster. John, thanks again for joining us here on the KNX Business Hour.
Thank you, Frank.
KNX News Time 112, this portion of the KNX Business Hour, sponsored by The Kitchen Store.
KNX 1070, News Radio, Market Closer.
Apple CEO Steve Jobs still expects to return from his medical leave at the end of June, according to an Apple director who responded to an investor at the company's annual shareholder meeting today. The investor had asked for details about when the board of directors knew Jobs planned to step away from his daily duties, and the Apple director responded only by saying that since Jobs announced January 14th that he needed to go on leave, nothing has changed. Jobs was not at the meeting. Apple stock today closed at 91 cents to 91.16. Well, the financial sector again in focus on Wall Street, with the Treasury Department announcing a new idea to further support the banks from the government's $700 billion financial rescue fund. We see Citigroup shares close down 8 cents to 252, B of A up 43 cents to 516, J.P. Morgan up 71 cents to 2173, and Wells Fargo gained 39 cents to 1344. Price of crude oil moving up today up $2.54 to $42.50 a barrel. So gold pulling back now, down about $15 to $9.51 an ounce, and silver down 22 cents to $13.65 an ounce. KNX Business Hour continues. The Dow down 80 points, NASDAQ down 16, S&P 500 down 8. Joining us live now, Southern California Democratic Congressman Brad Sherman, member of the House Financial Services Committee. Had a chance to question Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke at that hearing today. Congressman, what did you take away from that, and what's your reaction to the big announcements today from the Treasury Department?
I've been running around and have not seen the Treasury Department announcement. As to Bernanke, he was pretty much the same as he was before the Senate yesterday. I asked him about his efforts to prevent those banks that are holding taxpayer money from paying dividends, and he called upon them not to pay dividends, but did not agree to take any action with regards to those that do.
All right. I think you probably caught wind of the Treasury Department's plan at the hearing, the idea of using preferred stock, which could be converted to common stock, to pump up the banks. Some of your fellow members expressed concern about that idea. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense to put in our capital as preferred stock, convertible preferred stock. I'm not afraid of the Treasury voting stock. First, because we don't have to vote it if we don't want to. But second, the golden rule of Wall Street is he who provides the gold makes the rules. And when you look at Citibank, the common shareholders' capital is $11 billion, and we've put in $45 billion. So we ought to have something to say about how that's handled until we get our money back. I look forward to us getting our money back and returning to capitalism as we know it.
looks like with financial channels for the time being starting to look like C-SPAN with the president and, of course, members of Congress and the Senate on quite a bit talking about the economy. Are you convinced that we won't see a nationalization of the banks, which Ben Bernanke repeated that we will not see? He said that again today.
Well, I don't particularly like this term nationalization because it's vague as to the most essential element, which is, does the bank go into receivership first and the bondholders take a haircut, or do we nationalize to prevent the bank from going into a receivership? That second approach is really a way not so much of nationalizing the bank as bailing out the bondholders and the folks that decided to get uninsured deposits. You know, if you have an insured deposit, FDIC, you're in effect paying for that insurance. That's a reduced rate you're receiving, and the bank's paying for the FDIC insurance. I'm not anxious to provide FDIC insurance to the general creditors of Citibank when we certainly aren't doing it for the IndyBank general creditors.
If you have another second, let me ask you about the House, I understand, is about to consider legislation that would let federal judges erase mortgage debt for homeowners who enter bankruptcy. Where does that stand right now?
Well, I think that the bill will clear the House. I have pushed for a shared appreciation right because a question I get at town halls is, okay, Sherman, why should I pay my mortgage? And the answer has got to be that those who get government help or bankruptcy help, they may be able to stay in their homes, but they're giving up what we all hope will be the appreciation reaped in the decade to come. Absent that, it's hard to explain why everybody should get help. There are a lot of people that are current on their mortgages. They'd like to hold on to any future appreciation. They don't need government help, and they don't want to feel like suckers.
All right. As far as credit is concerned, all of these new measures are going to improve the credit situation for business people and consumers out there.
I wouldn't hold your breath. A part of it is the expectations that we have as to how available credit should be were formed at a time when the banks were excessively loose. Now, and we're never going back to 2007. So, and I'm never going to party like it's 1999. We're going to hopefully see credit become looser than it is today because, of course, the whole system has overreacted and now nobody's willing to take any risk, whereas a year and a half ago everybody was, or a lot of people were willing to take ridiculous risks.
Congressman Brad Sherman, thank you very much for joining us live here on the KNX Business Hour.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Thank you very much. That's a Democratic member of the House Financial Services Committee. Very shortly, we'll be speaking to Republican member of that committee, Congressman Ed Royce, here on the KNX Business Hour as well. KNX News Time. KNX Business Hour continues. The Dow down 80 points. We're back to 72.71. NASDAQ down 16 to 14.25. And the S&P 500 giving back 8 points today to 7.65. The yield on the 10-year note now 2.93%. The dollar pretty close to an all-time high against the Mexican peso today, 14.95 versus the peso. Well, further details now on that top story, big business, a $1 billion business, as a matter of fact, and now it's on the run, not because its stock value dropped, but because its workers have been arrested. KNX 1070's Charles Feldman joins me in the studio live with further details. Charles?
Frank, the business is the notorious Sinaloa Mexican drug cartel, and over the past 21 months, some 750 alleged members in the U.S. and Mexico have been busted in something called Operation Accelerator. Brand new Attorney General Eric Holder making that announcement today in Washington.
More than $59 million in illegal drug proceeds and large amounts of narcotics and weapons have been seized in the United States by law enforcement authorities, including more than 12,000 kilos of cocaine, 1,200 pounds of methamphetamine, 1.3 million ecstasy pills, and more than 160 weapons. Now, these are enormous amounts of narcotics, drugs otherwise destined for the streets of the United States.
Now, the investigation began right here in California, the Imperial Valley, in fact, and spread to some 26 states, the Sinaloa cartel being a $1 billion business with distribution centers in places large and small, urban and rural. Holder calls cartels like this one threats to national security.
We can provide our communities the safety and the security that they deserve only by confronting these dangerous cartels head on, without reservation. We can do that, and we will do that. These cartels will be destroyed.
Now, DEA head Michelle Lionheart talked about the scope of this very big operation.
Today, we have dealt the Sinaloa drug cartel a crushing blow in one of the largest joint international law enforcement efforts ever undertaken. As a result of this operation, they've been hit hard, and their ability to spread death and destruction has been diminished.
The Mexican government has waged war on these cartels, and that has led to a dramatic increase in violence in that country. Officials here saying it would be naive to think that there would not be some spillover into this country. Reporting live, Charles Feldman, KNX 1070 News Radio.
The closing market report and more for you straight ahead, KNX News Time.
KNX 1070 News Radio. Market closer.
Well, wild day for the stock market. The Dow moving lower right after the opening bell, actually popped its head into positive territory for a while. But then the final hour trading turned south again. The Dow down 80 points, back to 7,270. NASDAQ down 16 to 1,425. And the S&P 500 down 8 to 765. The yield on the 10-year note now 2.93%. The financial sector in the spotlight again with the Treasury Department saying the nation's biggest banks are now being granted access to further support from that $700 billion financial bailout plan that came together last year. The new support will be provided through the government's purchase of preferred shares of bank stock, which could be converted to common stock. And Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke says if the government's stress test of banks reveals a bank needs more money, they'll have up to 6 months to raise money from private companies. If it can't, then the government would provide extra help. Banking stocks closed mixed with Citigroup down 8 cents to 252, B of A up 43 cents to 516, and J.P. Morgan Chase up 71 cents to 2173. Joining us now, Republican Southern California Congressman Ed Royce, who's on the House Financial Services Committee. Just a little while ago, we spoke to Democrat Brad Sherman, who's also on that committee. Congressman Royce, thanks very much for being with us here. Give us your impressions of what you heard today from the Fed chair, and what did you have the chance to talk to him about today?
Well, Chairman Bernanke said he's quite confident that we can raise interest rates and reduce the money supply and do all that in a timely way to avoid any inflationary consequences in the future. We discussed a little bit the amount of borrowing, and I raised the issue, my concern, that we were going to go out and try to borrow $2 trillion worth of Treasury bonds in the coming months. And historically, in the United States, we've been able to have foreign buyers absorb about $200 billion of Treasuries annually, but now we're talking about $2 trillion. That's a much bigger number. So that was the issue that I was raising.
Did you get a satisfactory answer related to that? Who's going to pay for all that?
Well, his argument was that there were other buyers that could be enticed in to make these purchases, but the Congressional Budget Office has projected this is something that hasn't happened in the past. We have not been in a position where we've ever tried to go out into the market with such a large bond issuance in such a short period of time. So he's confident, but I've been raising that issue over the amount of spending that we've seen come out of Congress. My concern has been that we've got to curtail the spending increases and move back towards a more rational program. I'm concerned that long range the interest rates will be driven up by this amount of spending and borrowing. So that was the discussion that we engaged in.
Can I get your impressions about the Treasury Department announcing the big banks are getting immediate access to more money from the TARP funds, and also new support will be provided through the government buying preferred shares of the bank stock, which could be converted to common shares? A lot of people on your committee questioned the wisdom of doing that. Give us your impressions.
I think that at this point, the Federal Reserve Board and the Treasury Department are taking the steps that they feel are mandatory in order to create economic stability. The Federal Reserve Chairman explained that we had faced a very real crisis had they not expanded the money supply and had they not taken the other steps that you're outlining. They're going to advance here in order to shore up the financial system. Again, the concern that I have through all of this is that we don't overspend, because we have seen the deficit shoot up over the last couple of years with 8% increases in spending. This year, there's a bill up today where they're going to try to increase spending on all the government departments and agencies by over 8%. And the issue I was raising is that that's not sustainable. We should get that back in balance. And we should recognize that in Japan, Japan tried to spend its way out from 1990 to 1999 out of their recession. They had eight separate spending stimulus bills that they passed through, $1.3 trillion. And all they really ended up doing was doubling the debt of the nation and the interest payments on that. It wasn't until they got around to writing down the loans to the actual values that they came out of the recession.
Republican Southern California Congressman Ed Royce is on the House Financial Services Committee. Thanks very much for being with us here on the KNX Business Hour. A little while ago, we spoke to Democrat Brad Sherman, who's also a member of that committee. KNX News Time. KNX Business Hour continues. The Dow down 80 points at the closing bell to 7,271. NASDAQ down 16 to 1,425. And the S&P 500 down 8 to 765. Yield on the 10-year now 2.93%. Stocks actually rallied for a while after the announcement from the Treasury Department, saying the nation's biggest banks are now being given immediate access to more money from the government's $700 billion financial rescue fund. Joining us live now, Southern California Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democratic member of the House Financial Services Committee. She, too, had a chance to question Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke today. Congresswoman, tell us how you came away from that hearing today.
Well, to tell you the truth, I was not too happy with the hearing today for several reasons. Number one, we had Chairman Bernanke, who came and told us how much he was doing, how much he was lending, added to the TARP, added to what the guarantees that FDIC is doing, and he put on top of that the fact that, of course, the Fed rate was reduced to zero, and he talked about all of the infusions of cash and lending, but he could not document progress. He could not really document that this had unfrozen credit, that it had reduced interest rates, and so I was not pleased.
Tell us about that. This appears to be the number one issue for business people here in Southern California as well as consumers, the availability of credit. Do you see any improvement there at all?
Well, no. He tells me that there's supposed to be some improvement, but he did not, could not spell it out. He could not document it. There's a new program that's coming off called TALF, T-A-L-F, where there's supposed to be money for businesses that will be lent by the feds in cooperation with the TARF, but that's not ready yet, and he did not give us the details on that. But as where I sit, I don't see the unfreezing of credit so that these small businesses have money for inventory, and I'm worried about them not having money even for payroll, and that will cause businesses to close down. I'm worried about consumer credit and the fact that the banks have increased the interest rates on credit cards and that they have also limited the amount of money that are available on those credit cards. So I am going to follow up with the conversation with Mr. Bernanke so that I can see if I can get any proof from him about the loosening of credit, et cetera. But today I'm not happy.
Are you satisfied that the banking system has been stabilized based on what you heard today from Ben Bernanke as well as the Treasury Secretary making that announcement today regarding the stress test and giving the banks a preferred stock, which could actually be converted to common stock at some point?
Well, no, I'm not satisfied at all that the banks have been stabilized. We anticipate they're going to be back in asking for billions of dollars more. I think that all of the banks that we have given billions of dollars to, Citi, Bank of America, and then I understand AIG that we've given, I think, about $40 billion to, they're coming back. No, I'm not at all comfortable that they have been satisfied. I do know that they have been stabilized, rather. I do know that the TARP is talking about common converting preferred stock into common stock, but not the feds.
Let me ask you this, something that could come up this afternoon. We understand the House is expected to approve legislation that would let federal judges erase mortgage debt for homeowners who enter bankruptcy. Where does that stand, and what is your view on that?
That bill will be up tomorrow. We're in the Rules Committee on that bill right now, happen to determine whether or not we're going to allow amendments. But I think this bill is on its way. There has been a resistance to bankruptcy or modifications in bankruptcy for quite some time around here. The situation has gotten so bad, we've learned so much about the banks and their inability to facilitate modifications that this is going to become a reality. It's called the cram down. The bankruptcy judges will be able to modify loans and to reduce the principal on these loans in bankruptcy proceedings.
We understand there's no similar bill in the Senate right now. Do you think that can be quickly resolved? And how soon do you think that would go into effect if it passes the House?
Well, I think the president has already said that he supports it, that he will sign it. And I think it's on its way, and this is going to get done pretty quickly.
See you tonight. Read about it tomorrow, but hear it now live on the KNX Business Hour. Southern California Congresswoman Maxine Waters, a member of the House Financial Services Committee, thank you very much for joining us live here in the KNX Business Hour.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
This is the KNX Business Hour with Frank Motek on KNX 1070 News Radio.
The Dow coming in for a closing loss of 80 points today, back to 72.71. The Dow is actually in positive territory in the final hour, then turned south. NASDAQ down 16 to 14.25, and the S&P 500 down 8 to 7.65. The yield on the 10-year note now 2.93%. Saw the market turn around after the Treasury Department announced the big banks are being granted more money as part of the $700 billion financial rescue plan. The new support will be provided through the government's purchase of preferred stock of bank shares. Also today, first-time buyers can take immediate advantage of an $8,000 tax credit for homes purchased this year before December 1st. Treasury Secretary Geithner says buyers can take the credit on either their 2008 or 2009 taxes. Joining us now, USC Professor Raphael Bostic, economist at the USC Lusk Center for Real Estate. Professor, give us your reaction to that bank plan announced today.
Well, I think it's actually this is the right step to take, in the sense that, you know, we've been sort of dealing with the banks on a basically a moment-to-moment basis as new information comes in, with little sense as to what the bank's broader portfolio looks like, so what their full range of exposures and potential exposures are. And what that leads to is the potential for, you know, basically a continual revisiting of a bank's position with no sense as to how bad things are likely to get. So my guess is that this is really an attempt to say, okay, let's step back, look at this over a broader period, and really think hard about what the largest and most significant exposures are and be prepared for that. And if it looks like it's going to be worse than what we've been told or what people think, then we need to plan for that as soon as possible and not wait till we're in full-blown crisis mode.
Now, some people are worried about converting taxpayer-funded preferred stock into common stock, which would put the taxpayer below the food chain if something were to go south. What's your reaction to those concerns?
Well, I understand those concerns, and they're definitely real. The piece of this that will be interesting as we move forward will be what sort of managerial adjustments will be required. So will these banks be asked or required to change their strategies to limit their exposure to some of the more risky activities that have gotten them into some of this trouble to begin with? That's got to be part of anything that comes through this plan, because the more liability and the more exposure the taxpayers get, I think the more conservative we'd want these institutions to become.
USC Professor Raphael Bostic, economist at the USC Lusk Center for Real Estate. Thanks very much for being with us here on the KNX Business Hour. An update on the Madoff scandal now. Senator Frank Lautenberg's Family Foundation has sued to recover more than $7 million, it says it lost, in the alleged $50 billion investment scam run by financier Bernard Madoff. The Lautenberg Foundation has filed suit in New Jersey federal court, claiming that as the second-ranking official at Bernard Madoff Investment Securities, Peter Madoff covered up or at least ignored signs of fraud by the company. The foundation says in the suit that it invested $7.3 million with Madoff in 2001 and 2002.